Madhava Jaya Kunjabi Hari Jashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana Jashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana Jashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana Jashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana Jamuna Tira Vanachari Jamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Jaya Kunjabi Hari Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Thank you.
Jayam Vishnupada Paramahansa Privrajakacharya Stathada Satashi Srimad Devangrishla A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj Srila Prabhupada Ki, ISKCON Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki, Anantakoti Vaishnavrinda Ki, Nama Acharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki, Prem Sega Hostri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Garadhar Shivasari Gaura Bhaktivedanta Ki, Shri Shri Radha Krishna Go Gopa Gopina Shamakunda Radha Kundakiri Govardhana Ki, Shri Mayapur Dhamma Ki, Ganga Mai Ki, Jamuna Mai Ki, Bhakti Devi Ki, Tulasi Devi Ki, Samaveta Bhaktivedanta Ki, Jainatai Gaura Premanandi. All glorious is some of the devotees. All glorious is some of the devotees. All glorious is some of the devotees. All glorious is Shri Guru and Shri Gauranga. All glorious to Srila Prabhupada. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Shri Purur Uvacha Ko Nu Loke Manushyendra Pitur Atma Kritaf Puman Pratikartum Kshamo Yasya Prasadad Vindate Param Shri Purur Uvacha Konuloke Manushyendra Pitur Atma Kritaf Puman Pratikartum Shamo Yasya Prasadad Vindate Param Shri Purur Uvacha Konuloke Manushyendra Pitur Atma Kritaf Puman Pratikartum Shamo Yasya Prasadad Vindate Param Shri Purur Uvacha. Puru said, Ka, what? Nu, indeed. Loke, in this world. Manushyasya, Indra, O your majesty, best of human beings. Pitu, the father. Atmakrita, who has given this body. Puman, a person. Pratikartum, to repay. Kshama, is able. Yasya, of whom. Prasadat, by the mercy. Vindate, one enjoys. Param, superior life. Translation. Puru replied, O your majesty, who in this world can repay his debt to his father? By the mercy of one's father, one gets the human form of life, which can enable one to be an associate of the Supreme Lord. Purport. The father gives the seed of the body, and the seed gradually grows and develops until one ultimately attains a developed human body, with consciousness higher than that of the animals. In the human body, one can be elevated to the higher planets, and furthermore, if one cultivates Krishna consciousness, one can return home back to Godhead. This important human body is obtained by the grace of the Father, and therefore everyone is indebted to his Father. Of course, in other lives, one also gets a father and mother. Even cats and dogs have fathers and mothers. But in the human form of life, the father and mother can award their son the greatest benediction by teaching him to become a devotee. When one becomes a devotee, he achieves the greatest benediction because he completely averts the repetition of birth and death. Therefore, the father who trains his child in Krishna consciousness is the most benevolent father in this world. It is said, Janame Janame Shabe Pita Mata Pai Krishna Guru Nahi Mile Bhaja Hari Hari Ai. Everyone gets a father and mother, but if one gets the benediction of Krishna and Guru, he can conquer material nature and return home back to Godhead. So we see here is a study between the reactions of Puru and his brothers. So we see a reaction based on piety, we see a reaction on impiety, and we see a reaction based on Krishna consciousness. So the piety means that it's elevating. It's not defining what that elevation is, but it just means elevation will be there. Impiety means there will be degradation, not elevation. And devotional means one will transfer from the material consciousness to the spiritual. So the point is piety is useful because it's going in the same direction that going back to Godhead is. So whatever position you're in at present, from there you'll go forward to Krishna. And in between wherever position we're at in Krishna, there happens to be the heavenly planets, Brahman, all these things. So the pious activities are useful for moving forward. That's why they're glorified. Because otherwise people will tend to just be involved in sinful activities. Because sinful just means they do whatever they like. Why are pious activities considered more elevated? Or why do they give results? Because, as we said, it's in the direction of Krishna. You're following Krishna's laws, you're moving towards him. But only with devotion do you actually get to him. Right? So, therefore, for the materialistic person, better they're pious than impious. But better than being materialistic and pious is being devotional. So we see Yadu, he actually understood things as it is. He's following the Varnashram system so he can gauge his senses. And from that get the maximum experience so that he can see the how unimportant it is. And he can then move forward in Krishna consciousness. his brother is there thinking that this youth and all that's eternal, like youth tend to think. You know how you say? Youth is wasted on the young, is the saying. And so they didn't want to give it up because they thought they could enjoy forever. So they're fools. They'll just continue on in the cycle of birth and death. And then Puru here, he is seeing that pious act up is we have that duty, we have that position, that respect that's due. We've gotten benefit from the Father. We've gotten this body that therefore can be engaged in Krishna consciousness. And that therefore is an advantage. Right? The animals are going to do their duties. And so the animals will, in their own way, be pious. Animals, they elevate themselves, right? Because they do their duties. They don't do something else. So because of doing their duties, following God's law, they purify themselves. And at the end of that life, they move forward to the next lives. Does this make sense? Until they come back to the human form. So this kind of piety, as Prabhupada mentions, as quoting from the Acharyas, of getting the Father, this is available in all species of life. And if you perform your duties, yes, you'll move forward, but you see is that they won't take up Krishna consciousness, the animals won't. Human form of life means you can take up Krishna consciousness. That's the specialty. Otherwise, getting mother and father and doing your duties, that's standard. Every species of life except human will automatically do that. Humans can choose whether they'll follow their duties or not. And if they follow, will they follow them for themselves or for Krishna? So in here is we have to appreciate that the pious position, why would it be mentioned or glorified unless it was useful in devotional service? It means the sinful position wouldn't be the position used by the devoted. They'd use the pious. Right, but they're not willing to use the pious just for pious benefits, because that's a waste of time also. It's a nice waste of time, but it's still a waste of time. So, therefore, then, it's engaging in Krishna's service, that's what's going to make things proper. That's why the story is here in Bhagavatam, because we see Yadu. Because Yadu is the one, it's the Yadu dynasty. Krishna appears in that dynasty. We also see later Maharaj Yadu, because of his qualification, he could understand the transcendental situation of the Avadhuta Brahman in the 11th canto. And so therefore he went, he asked questions, he got enlightenment from him. So quite a very qualified person. So he's using the position in the correct way. So he's respecting the Father, but the point is it's a matter of Krishna consciousness. Right? Because generally we tend to, oh, it's just Krishna consciousness, we don't have to respect the Father. No, we have to respect. Because from the Father we've gotten the human form of life. But the human form has to be used for Krishna consciousness. So how much one is able to engage in Krishna consciousness and maintain that relationship, then that's how important it is. Does that make sense? So Puru is pious, he's doing his duties. So therefore, he will respect and properly deal with his father. But we don't hear of him being engaged in Krishna consciousness. So of the materialistic sons, he's the best. But of all the sons, Yadu is the best. So this is important to appreciate. That something has a value in its connection with Krishna. It doesn't have a connection to Krishna. It actually doesn't have any value. It may be nice, but it doesn't have real value for the soul. So the Bhagavatam's teaching us is that we should go for that real value. That's actually the path, how to choose what's the real value. And real value means what's connected to Krishna. Right? Because as we advance in devotional service, then it comes to the point where if there's a taste in Krishna consciousness, then you're going to follow that taste. Right? The taste is about Krishna. So where is that taste? So hearing and chanting, it's there. Serving the Vaishnavas, worshipping the deities, preaching about Krishna. And one will follow that taste. So one's doing these things because that's where the taste is. That's where Krishna is. And other things that don't have that taste are not followed. Right? So it's a natural thing. It's not that it's the rules is why they follow. It's because there's taste. That's why they're chanting because of the taste, not because it's the rule. Does that make sense? Well, when we practice Vaidhi sadhana, then we're doing it because we're supposed to. Otherwise, we wouldn't do it. That's the whole point. We have taste, but not in Krishna. So we will follow the path of materialism and go after, according to our modes, whatever taste we have, according to, you know, our position. And we'll follow that very nicely. But unfortunately, that doesn't take us back to Godhead. So only when we follow that taste that's in connection with Krishna, then we actually get a benefit. So if we don't have that taste, then we perform the sadhana, and by that we get purified, and we're always engaged in the same activities that are the choice of those with taste. Then as we get purified, we start to get the taste. Right? That taste deepens, one gets attachment, that deepens more, it brings one to bhava. By then continuing in bhava and the association of Krishna's eternal associates, that brings us to prema. That's the ultimate goal. Otherwise, the things here and just being nice and good and all these things, then we have to be careful. Does that make sense? Yeah. Any questions or comments? Yes.
The other day, Janapriya was saying that we should never, nobody should ever leave ISKCON under any circumstances, you know. In any case, don't leave ISKCON. We see that with a lot of devotees join, many of them go on, have rock solid reputations and never have any problems in being good, and then that there's a lot of devotees also that have kind of history like King Yayati here. They end up, you know, having sex with the wrong people, or they offend a great personality, or make other mistakes. So then a devotee becomes vilified and slandered, and then they feel embarrassed, you know, to come back and be part in any way. So we wonder how to make it you want the watchdog to keep all the standards and everything protected, but at the same time, how can you make it accommodating and welcoming for everybody, even if they have a bad day?
Okay, so you want the watch, not the dog. Okay. Yes. Means the process in Krishna consciousness, it's a matter of inspiration. Prabhupada says, inspiration, not, what's it? Impression, not repression. I think that. So you're impressed. Oh, impressive, not repressive. I think that was the term he used. So the idea is that someone does something wrong. Okay? Now, what's gone wrong technically? You understand? So we'll come forward and, you know, make our comments how something's wrong, right? You know, we get out there with the bell and shame, and that whole kind of thing like that, you know. So that kind of position, then the difficulty comes up is that in that conclusion, even though something's gone wrong, and it is wrong, but the understanding of what's actually wrong is wrong. Does that make sense? So, we're taking it that the misjudgment in the secondary platform is the real thing. But those recommended activities They're recommended because they're useful in Krishna consciousness. They're not Krishna consciousness. Right? Does that make sense? A Krishna conscious person does what's right. But what the activity of religiousness that they're following, that's not the Krishna consciousness. Just like our frying pans cooking. Or frying pans are used for cooking. You understand? So the problem is we make the mistake and think the frying pan is devotional service. It is the cooking. So if there's some problem with what how you like that, then there's no devotional service. So we're looking at it from the materialistic point of view, from the secondary. Problem is that, yes, and so this aspect of seeing the secondary and forgetting the primary, this is the material position. That's why we're here in the material world. Because Lord Brahma, generally speaking, he does pretty good when it comes to following the rules. But all those Brahmas, they're all down here now. Or lower. So that means following the rules isn't actually the real thing. It's remembering Krishna, doing things to please Krishna. That's the real thing. Now one can say, yes, those things are to please Krishna. Yes, they are. And so if there's an aberration in the activity, then what's the real problem? The activity or the lack of Krishna consciousness? Right? How do you correct Krishna consciousness, lack of Krishna consciousness? Right? By Krishna consciousness. There isn't another system. Right? It's just like, I don't know if it's still around now, but before it was a very common cliche. You have the guy standing down there on the, how you say, the little island between the two ways of traffic. You know, and generally, traditionally, they have big long hair and a beard and funny old kind of baggy clothes. And they're all going, repent, this end is nigh, repent sinners, and all that. You know that one? You don't know that one? Yeah? Yeah. I mean, before it was very popular. Now maybe they don't worry about it. So if we go out there and every time we see a karmi, we just go, oh, you dirty, stinky, smelly, and all that kind of stuff. You know, you're the nonsense and this. How many devotees are we going to make? Right? Maybe to give a general, you know, generous, number, blade, comes to mind, I would say probably zero. Right? Yeah, but when you find fault in them, then, okay, yeah, they might be. Okay, yeah, here's the perfect move where I can go. In other words, we'd catch that guy down on that, down on that boulevard right there. So, it's because of the encouragement, because of the positive, because of being engaged in devotional service. So those who are not following any of their four regular principles come in contact with devotees. They're engaged in direct activities of devotional service. They get purified. They get interested. They get attracted. They take up the process. Right? So therefore, if something goes wrong in the secondary, there's only one solution, engagement in the primary, in direct activities, the five main activities of devotional service. There is no other solution. People come up with all these solutions. We have to remember that the idea of setting an example goes back thousands of years, and it never has worked. Does that make sense? Anytime you see someone, we are setting an example, and they use this kind of destructive method, it always comes around and bites them. Guaranteed. It has never worked for any of them. Right, so that one that is there that you said is solid and that and all that, they're the ones that didn't use that method. Literally. That's why they're still here. Because they know Krishna consciousness is the real thing. People make mistakes, be Krishna conscious. There is no material solution. The idea that prayaschitta works is for fools. Literally, we have one whole canto of Bhagavatam just describing that. So we have to appreciate that that kind of attitude. It's one, it'll be bad for the person that you're supposedly trying to reform, and two, it'll be bad for yourself. Right? And the fun part is, it will also be bad for the person who's criticizing, it'll be bad for their family, it'll be bad for their relatives, it'll be bad for their friends, it'll be bad for anybody that's connected to them. That means their dentist is going down. Like that. Everyone goes down. And that's Manu. That's Manu Samhita. Now you can say, oh, we're devotees, we don't care for Manu Samhita. Then if we don't care, then why do we care for Prayaschitta? Person's having a problem, he should be chanting more, associating more, better associating. What's wrong? Why are they in such a weak position? And it'll always come back to these five things. They're lacking association, they're chanting, they're hearing Bhagavatam, the worship of the deity, the seeing, you know, being in the effect of the transcendental place, you know, the temple, the dham, something. It's always going to be from these. A weakness is there. And then from that, then offenses, other things like that, material desires come up. That's just automatic. So the only way to correct these things is through devotional service. Something goes wrong, then you have to figure out who can do this. Now, if you're not in a position, don't have that spiritual strength to do, then you have to find who does. Let me see. That's how it works. Prabhupada sent the example. He's the acharya. Some senior man would have big problems. He'd just take them with him when he travels. And generally speaking, after 3 months, they're solid again. He'd put them right back where they were. None of this, oh, he did that, now he's eternally damned. You know, it's like, that's materialism. Just upfront materialism. He put him right back. And some of them fall again later, do it again. I think we had one guy brought us three or four times. He was with Prabhupada and got, you know, like that. Because the point is, devotional service is the only thing of benefit for human society. If we're interested in the physical, the emotional, the social, the economic benefit, that you'll get the benefit by following Varnashram. You're not following Varnashram, then why even talk about getting benefit from these? Because no one is. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? That's why Krishna made it, is so that you can maintain yourself and all these things. But, as we see here, then Yadu Maharaj points out is that unless it's connected to Krishna, what's the point? So we're taking an irreligious position, not the Varnashram position. And from that, then we're finding fault and criticizing and all that, and we're not connecting to Krishna. That's really sad. I mean, just like, that's totally sad. That one is situated in Varnashram and one can't understand how bhakti is higher and therefore Prayaschitta and all that. That's pious. It's sad. Right? But it's not really sad. Right? Does that make sense? So the whole point is if we're saying that it's a breach in religion, but then someone has to be following religion in the first place. No, we can't quote Varnashram when it's convenient and then not follow it. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? We have to be very, very careful. You know, be consistent. If we're talking about leadership, people are comfortable when leadership's consistent. That's what they look for, consistency. Does that make sense? That's just how it works. So then, one has to have that. So how to maintain it is the standard of Krishna consciousness. So that means leadership, its first business is seeing the people are Krishna conscious. The second position is that they understand people's natures. The third position, then they organize according to people's natures so they can be Krishna conscious. Right? And if you change the order, it won't work. Does that make sense? So the highest leadership is who's seeing to the actual Krishna conscious standards. What is devotional service? What's not? And it's very fine to be able to tell what's religion, what's not. What's the philosophy? What's our philosophy? What's not? What's a chinta beta beta tattva? What's not? That takes training. That takes realization. That's the finest level. Therefore, that's the highest leadership. Right? Does that make sense? Then you come down and then you get to the managers. But in a spiritual society, there's no way, shape, or form that management is the top. It doesn't make sense. Right? In the Vedic system, the Brahmins, the Kshatriyas have to follow the Brahmins. It's just the way it is. It's standard. No one does it where the management's the top if they're within the Vedic system. Outside the Vedic, of course, you always want to be. You know, I mean, how you say, Henry VIII, you know, had it down. He's the king and he's the head of the church. I mean, it's just like, you know, it doesn't get better than that. Like that. I mean, it didn't work out so great for his wives, but, you know, I mean, hey, you know, there's got to be, you know, there has to be sacrifice somewhere, you know, like that, for the greater good. Yes, for the greater good. So we have to understand is that this ability to see what's there, because Prabhupada mentioned that one devotee, he got distracted and all that, and then someone made it public and all that, and Prabhupada didn't approve. He said, if you do this, then he'll get embarrassed. He won't stay around and do devotional service. So the other thing, him being embarrassed and feeling bad is correction. No, it's devotional service's correction. See, the thing is, we have to give up this material perspective that correct action is Krishna consciousness. No, Krishna consciousness is correct action. We have to understand the difference. That's what I'm saying. That's leadership. And that's the first verse of Srimad Bhagavatam. Someone who can tell the difference between what's spiritual and material. That is the highest truth. Right? Does that make sense? That's the highest truth. These other things, it's like, what's the point? You know, they're symptoms. That's how you can tell someone's, like, if someone's engaged in nonsense, you can tell there's something wrong there. So there's a weakness in their devotional service. That's what you see. Right? It's just like someone gets sick. Right? Now do we ostracize them or you find the correct medicine? But how do you know what medicine to give unless you can tell how their health is deviated from the natural healthy position? Stomach is off, or, you know, it's on their nerves, or this. You have to be able to know what's wrong. So you have to know what's health. So if you don't know what's Krishna consciousness and the practices, you can't tell what's wrong. You know something's wrong. But I mean, pitchforks and torches and all that, that doesn't, it's you know, the cliche is it's a little gross. It's not refined. Does that make sense? So it's a mentality. It's not technique, it's not activities, it's not that. It's an actual mentality of being able to discern what's Krishna conscious, keep that part. You know, the person's been doing very nicely like this. Now they've something's distracted, so that how can get them back to that position where they're nicely situated? But if it's a matter, oh, but I can't have faith in them anymore, as if we're the gold standard of understanding Krishna consciousness. You know? Just because you have a mundane perspective, that stands over Krishna consciousness. You understand? That's one of the biggest obstacles. No one can get it together because, oh, but no one will accept. Who's this no one? Who are these materialists that they're talking about that are so important? Even the karmis will let go. Even they'll let go. As long as you're out of the news for a while, then they'll kind of, okay, let's you know. And they haven't done anything, so okay, let's check it out. Does that make sense? So we have to understand is that cultivating this communal, mundane mentality is going to be bad for everybody, because that means either you are so squeaky clean you never ever do anything wrong. And if that's what your position, that's great. But those persons are generally quite obvious. Right? But that means everybody else, they're doing something wrong. It's just a matter of, it's just the expertise of who can hide it and who's not so good at it. So the ones who get caught, then the ones who are hiding it well, then they jump up and down and, oh, shame, shame, and all that kind of jazz. You understand? I mean, that's the first thing. When something goes wrong that you're doing, the first thing you do is speak out. It's a standard political position. Because by you speaking out, then everyone else will think, oh, he's good, he's clean, he spoke out. It's standard. It's a standard political tool. You understand? And, or if they are, they used to, now they've reformed and they never do, okay, let that person come forward and speak. You know, it's the point. Whoever hasn't done anything, let them come forward, let them throw the first rock. Go ahead. But you have to be on that platform. You're not doing it. Because why would you talk about it? Let's say someone does something wrong. They're off with the wrong person. Okay? Now if that comes up and little kids hear about it, it's kind of like, yeah, so? Because it doesn't mean anything to them. So the ones that jump up and down the most about it means that has the most meaning to them. Whether they're doing it or not, but that value is very strong in their heart. Otherwise, why would it resonate so strongly that they would have such force to go against it? Does that make sense? We have to understand we're dealing with the modes of nature here. Krishna created the place, not us. You know what I'm saying? So we have to follow Krishna's rules. Therefore, then, if you're the squeaky clean guy that is pious and all that, great, step forward. I think I can remember one, but I think there was one more. But no, I've met two in 40 years of being around. Like that. I met two. They're just materially pious. Don't do anything that's not pious. But the problem is it gets in the way of them seeing what's beyond in Krishna consciousness. They'll be Krishna conscious, but when it comes between something that doesn't look like it's following the rule, and that that's where it breaks down for them. It's rare, but it does break down for them. But literally, I've met two that are situated, pious, you know, and these guys are like born Brahmins, you know, traditional, following the tradition. Literally, I've met two. So, therefore, we have to be very, very careful. Someone in the line of Ramanujacharya, I think the seventh generation after, he wrote a book, I don't remember the name. One of the points he makes in the book is the person who performs something bad in Krishna, you know, is not Krishna conscious, does something wrong. Then, of course, there's going to be some disturbance in the Krishna consciousness for that. Then you have the person who therefore criticizes. He also shares in that reaction. Then he goes on to say the person who criticized the second person who's criticizing the first person, he also gets. In other words, fault finding doesn't do anyone any good at any level. It just doesn't work. Right? Because the problem is lack of Krishna consciousness, not the activity. The activity may be wrong, but wrong for what purpose? We're looking at it's wrong because it's not Krishna conscious. If we're looking at it's wrong because it's wrong, that means it's not religious. Therefore, it doesn't give you the karma or jnana that you're going for. And if that's what we're worried about, is that a Krishna conscious perspective? Right? Does that make sense? So that's why this position isn't actually very strong. And Krishna in the 11th canto makes that clear, is that he points out what's wrong and right about things. And then at the end of the discussion, he says, enough of this, because pointing out what's wrong actually is a fault. Right? So we only are pointing out the fault so that you see it, are aware of the actual position. Does that make sense? So, whoever it is, even if they're the biggest fault finder, all they have to do is not find fault and connect to Krishna. And the only use of that fault finding is what's not Krishna conscious. But it has to be in context of what's not Krishna conscious, not what's not pious or not right or not socially acceptable. That's still just fault finding. So always remember Krishna, that's our focus. But we also know how to not forget Krishna. That's secondary. That can't be the emphasis. You always have to bring it back to the primary, which is remember Krishna. Therefore, we see Srila Prabhupada always see what's the best way to engage this individual in Krishna's service. Right? They're a manager. They've messed up. Get their Krishna consciousness together. They go back to management. Because as Krishna says to Arjuna, you have to do your duty. Arjuna wanted to leave and go be a Brahmin, but Krishna said it won't work. You're a Kshatriya. You've got to do that kind of stuff. So if someone's a manager, they have to manage. Right? Does that make sense? So that's the position. So we have to balance all that. But the primary Krishna consciousness has to be the lead consideration. Okay? Does that make sense? Yeah. Something else? Yes.
Do we need a judiciary in ISKCON society?
Do we need a judicial?
Yeah, I mean a court system.
A branch.
Court system.
It can be used. It means we are a society, we are an institution. So if the local authorities can't deal with it, then it can go to some other body that can. But if it has to be based on Krishna consciousness. That has to be. So in other words, judgment has to be given by those who have that qualification of appreciating Krishna consciousness first. That's the whole point. And but at the same time they have a basis in what's proper activity, what's not. Because if you want to use a judicial system, call it a judicial system, they should know Manu Samhita. But they should know it in context of Krishna consciousness, otherwise that'll be a disturbance also. They should know it, they should practice it, and then they can judge. But they have to be solid devotees. They have to judge on how something's useful in Krishna consciousness, how it's not. Because on the secondary platform, everyone's an individual. You'll never actually get exactly correct. The only opinion that is universally correct is Krishna's. That's it. And so how do we know that? We know through Guru, we know through the Acharyas, we know from Krishna himself speaking. And even he speaks, we still need the Acharya's commentary on that. So what do our Acharyas do? How did they deal with all these things? How have they dealt with all these wrongs? Because these things have always been going on in the Krishna Bhajanamrita. I think that's Narhari Chakrabarti. Then he made the point that gurus falling down in that was happening at the time of Lord Chaitanya. Because it's not an important discussion, it's not brought up. It happens. You know what I'm saying? Just like you have an assembly of devotees there, it's a very formal occasion and all that, and somebody burps. So now that should go down in the chronicles, or should we be talking about what was the benefit of that association, what was happening there and those things. So that's the whole thing, is that these things have always been going on. We make it out like it's just happening now. It's always been going on. It's just that for the Paramahamsa, they take the milk. That's it. Doesn't mean that they don't know the difference between milk and water. Otherwise, how do they take milk? But for them, the focus is on the milk. Then if you have a judicial system like that, it works. Like that. But the natural thing is whoever's the leader is they take care of that. But if not, they can have a group that does it on their behalf. Does that make sense? Like the kings, they would do it themselves. If not, then they would have a group of Brahmins do it. Like that. The prime minister could do, or a group. Generally it's, I think, a group of four. Like that. So that makes sense?
Yes, yeah. Thank you.
So it's one of those, if it's useful, that's fine. But if all it does is create trouble, then what's the point? We have to remember, emulating the karmis is overrated. Does that make sense? Is that good? Okay. Gruntaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jainita Gaura Premanandi.